You alright? My name's Paul, I've got autism, and I make random videos based on my version of autism and the way my head works, and I stick the videos on the internet just in case you fancy giving them a watch. And I hope you're doing alright. Anyway, I did a video for me 5 minutes ago, for you probably a week, where I talked about workplace accommodations and what they mean, the best way to go about getting them, and the route you should do. And like I said in the video, consider the cost to the company, the impact of other people's work, and to make sure you can still deliver the same output. You know, as long as you can do those things, you will get your adjustments unless you work for someone who is unreasonable. So what I want to do in this video is tell you my workplace adjustments that I genuinely have in my workplace right now. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of them. And this is why it's important for me to share them, because I want you to understand that with all these 11, that they don't affect what I've just said. They're not impactful on cost. They don't affect anybody else's work, and I can still do my job. That's the point of a reasonable adjustment. So I want to share them all. They're in order of kind of least important to most important. And I want to tell you what they are and explain why I need them, just in case any line up with you and it helps you put yours together. Okay, so let's start and see where we end up. So the first thing I asked for might seem unusual, but please let me explain. Do not share my birthday. Don't share my birth date. I don't want anybody knowing when my birthday is, for a good reason. I hate my birthday. It's got nothing to do with me, the day I was born. I just fell out of someone on that day. So why do I have to celebrate it every year? Why have I got to hear the words happy birthday, get a card, which annoys me because then that's dead trees, just for me, for something to throw in the bin. I suppose if you could bury the cards and they made a new tree, that'd be better. But I just hate the idea. Just text me if you want and just know I'll ignore it. For some reason, I've got this real aversion to happy birthday. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't want people to say it. And fortunately, in work, your birthday is under GDPR. So your fellow employees are not allowed to ask for access to my birth date. Like if anyone out of the blue just started saying happy birthday on my birthday, I'm allowed to say to them, where on earth did you get my birthday from? Because that could be a breach of GDPR. I just want to avoid it. I don't want a card. I don't want to go on a birthday list. I don't want to just receive a little emoji that sends confetti up. Just no. And I don't want to have to use an annual leave holiday day just because other people are going to wish me happy birthday. It makes me feel cringe, and I need to avoid it. It'd just be a waste of a day. And I know it might sound like, Paul, get over it. It's just someone wishing you a happy birthday, but it has an impact on me. So that's why it ended up in a reasonable adjustment. And what's important about these 11 that I'm telling you, 10 of them were signed off straight away. One of them took 16 months and a threat of legal action. But let me explain fully when I get to that one. So like I say, I asked for that. It was given, no problem. I then asked for a clear structure of my work requirement. And the reason I asked for that is because twice in the last four companies I've worked for, my work role was threatened to be changed drastically. So in the first place, I was a health and safety advisor, health, safety and fire advisor, and I would go to all these companies doing all these audits, all these fire risk assessments, and I managed 27 companies' health and safety and fire. And then business started dying down because terrible decisions were being made over marketing. And they wanted me to be a cold caller. I'm not a cold caller. That wasn't my job. That's not what I was employed to do. I got immensely stressed, and that was part of leading on to how I ended up with an autism diagnosis because of the friction with me and the boss over things like this. I worked somewhere else where this absolute potato of a man called Bob surname will remain nameless. And he didn't understand what COVID was when it was starting, you know, when there was less information. But it's like, look, viral, respiratory. I don't think it's a good idea to send me into a care home to be a handyman. That was his idea. And at the time, I was a fire risk assessor. Like, I'm not a handyman. I'm not going in care homes. I don't go in them already. Why do you want to send me somewhere where I could take something with me? Let's think about this. We don't even know what this is yet. You know, and he was so stupid. Thankfully, he's no longer in the industry, which is good for the industry, but I'm scarred by those people. So I need to know what you want me to do, and that's it. You know, and even if there's more to be done with it, like little branch off pieces of work, at least it needs to remain commensurate to what I already do, and I'll have no problem doing it. So I asked for that, and that was given. I went through it with my line manager. We went through our job description, and I was like, what else am I going to do? He's like, no, that's it. Anything else would require you to have a job title change. Any job title change requires then another interview, and we're not going to mess about with all that. So just know this is your job. Perfect. Thank you very much. I then asked for future training consideration. And what I mean by that is I don't learn well sat in a classroom. I don't learn well reading out of textbooks. I learn better by doing. I need interaction for it to go in. You know, let me watch, let me observe, then let me try again, let me know if it's right. Now I know how to do it. So I just said, if there's any training consideration, can we at least look into my best way of learning for the same thing? Because I'll be disadvantaged if I'm expected to sit in a classroom. I get narcolepsy. I honestly start falling asleep. Like, it could be a course on something I'm really interested in, like why bacon tastes amazing. I'll be like, oh, I'll have a bit of that. Within 15 minutes, I'll be falling asleep and I'll have to be at the back of the room walking around just to try and stay awake. And then I don't absorb any of the course because I'm so bothered about standing out as being the only person falling asleep. So I asked for that. That was granted, no problem. This one's important. Include autism in one-to-one discussions. So I have to have a discussion once a month with my boss to talk about work, talk about what I think's going well, what's not going well, have I learned anything, have I found anything, is there anything systemic as an issue that I've discovered? But I've also asked for that check-in to be given at the end of that chat where my boss will go, and how are you in yourself? You know, how's everything with your autism? Are you okay? Do we need to consider anything on your reasonable adjustments? Do we need to remove, tweak, add? Are you okay? And that's all I need, because when I feel against the grain, when I feel stressed, when I feel bothered, when I'm heading towards burnout, it's like this additional weight that's on me. And that weight, it kind of suppresses my confidence and my ability to talk openly. So having this in my one-to-one discussions, it's somebody else starting that conversation, because I haven't got it in me at those times to go, do you know what, I'm feeling a bit burnt out here. Is there any way we can, you know, cancel, rearrange some of this work just to lighten my load for the next week, because I've got a load of admin to catch up on and da, da, da. So with asking for that, it just gives me the freedom to have the conversation when I don't have the confidence to start it myself. There you go. That's the right way of saying it. Please don't take offense to this if you live in the area. It's not intended for you to take offense, I promise you. It's all personal and personal experiences. But my next one is no work within the M25 Ring Road. So for those who don't know what a ring road is, because you might not be in England, it's basically a motorway that surrounds a city and it's surrounding boroughs. So the M25 Ring Road surrounds London and its surrounding boroughs. You'll have one for Birmingham, you've got one for Manchester, you've got one for Leeds and Bradford. So there's a few places with them in England. Now, every time I have personally been within the M25 Ring Road, I have had bad experiences all the way through to horrific. Experiences. M25 Ring Road. Always have a bad experience. And I don't get it. Because, like, the London Underground, many years ago, I risk assessed all of them for DSEA, which is dangerous substances and explosive atmosphere regulations. So I have been, I have seen them, I have done work around there. You know, it's not like I'm not used to it. But I can't figure it out. I just can't grasp the Underground, and it's why it gets tourists. It's busy, everyone's miserable, no one smiles, it's crammed, it's I just don't like it. And I get very confused by the cost of living in London. I don't know why it's twice as expensive to live there. I don't know what I'm paying for. I can't figure that bit out. So that makes no sense when I'm trying to manage finance and what I'm buying. And I just get this confusion in London, and I don't like my confusion in London. And this is not a boast, but because I've got quite a strong fire background, I get contacted relentlessly by recruiters who are offering work for more than twice my current annual salary if I was willing to work down there. I'm not. So if I'm not willing to work for twice my annual salary, more so, down there, I'm not going to do it where I am on the salary I'm on. If someone's willing to pay me a hell of a lot more for my skill set, and the only reason I don't go is because of my issues I've had in that area, don't expect me to go any other time either. But you know what? I'm a team player. I'll help anyone. But there are everybody else who does my job in my company lives closer to London than I do, except the guy in Scotland. So all of those could help first, and I'll cover their patch instead. So I'll still help, just avoid me, the M25 Ring Road, please. Like I say, not a reflection on anything else except my personal experiences. I asked for that. It was granted, no problem. The next one, and bear in mind these are building up, is to arrange my own work diary. And for the last three places I've worked, I've done just that anyway. Except at one place it was taken off us when we got given a new boss because he was like, oh, you just need to focus on your work. Let admin do that. It is an admin task after all. So it was like, all right, brilliant. Thanks for that. And then he put someone in charge who I can only assume has never seen England before. Because what they'd do is they'd give you a job in Newcastle in the northeast on a Monday. They'd give you a job in Liverpool on a Tuesday, which is in the northwest. And then they'd give you a job in Sunderland on the Wednesday, and you're like, no, because Sunderland is just underneath Newcastle. So you'd be on the phone, right, you've put me in there Monday, over to Liverpool Tuesday, back over to the northeast Wednesday. Can you do me a favour and just contact them and say, I'll do Monday and Tuesday in the northeast, then I'll do Wednesday, you know, in the northwest. And they'd go, no, I've already sent the invites out. You're going to have to do that bit now. So then you'd spend all the time contacting all these places to rearrange, which took longer than if I just booked my diary in the first place. It was very annoying, and I just needed to make sure that, you know, I've done my own diary for the past 15 years. I just want to keep doing it again. Thank you very much. No matter if my management changes, and that's why I put it in, because I'm so fearful of getting a potato of a manager just like that other one was. That a lot of these are in place because I'm trying to prevent bad management again. I asked for that. It was granted, no problem. I also asked for arranging my own overnight accommodation. Reason being, it's done through a certain website, which is for travel for people who work. And it was with admin. And no disrespect to our admin, but they cared about the finance, not our well-being. So they would put you in the cheapest accommodation they could find. I did it twice, couldn't do it again. And I asked for my own login for it because I'm not asking to stay in a place where I've got a butler stoking the fire and jacuzzis, whirl tubs and all sorts in my bedroom. I just want the Premier Inn. You know, somewhere I know what it's going to look like no matter where I stay in the country. Somewhere with parking, somewhere with a pub or a restaurant on site. where I can just go and find food instead of trying to hunt somewhere out. And the best part about staying in a place like the Premier Inn, you get a voucher, like a meal authorization voucher, that goes back on the card that was originally used to book the room. So you don't mess with your own money. That matters, you know, when you're away from home and you don't have to hunt places out and you just get used to it. So I asked for that to avoid being put in a kennel. I was granted it, no problem. I then asked, and I know this seems a lot, but like I said, where are these affecting other people's workload? Where is it affecting the cost? Where is it affecting my work value? It isn't. They're all the fluff, and that's what I'm taking care of. So I also asked for an outline of taking back hours if I work overtime. The reason I've asked for that is because I am rotated to work 37 and a half hours a week, I think. So if I work 1 hour more, the company owe me that back in time because I don't get paid more for working more. I just get the same amount no matter what. And the problem is you can end up accruing a lot of hours, especially with the amount of time I spend on the road, getting stuck in traffic, needing to leave at silly o'clock in the morning to get somewhere at a reasonable time. Like the other week, I set off at, say, 7:30 to get somewhere for 11 because I was on the road for that long. You know, so you've got to take that into account in your working week because I'm traveling, which is work related, so I get paid for the travel. But I know I've got to do that in the times I'd usually be in bed. So those extra hours, I want them back. Because I'm built a certain way, which has been born from giving too much of myself to workplaces. And I work too hard for too long, care too much, and I'm the one who gets broken by it and ends up having to move on because people don't care like I do. And I'm not saying I'm the Mr. Dynamic number one employee in the world. I'm not. But I've got the ability to care more than others. And it's never paid dividends. So I need to, and I do this. I treat work as a transaction. They need someone to do a certain job. And I can do that certain job, but I need to earn a certain amount of money. And that's when we meet, have an interview to make sure that I'm right for them, but more importantly, that they're right for me. And if we find that their pay is commensurate with what I'm looking for and my skill set is commensurate for what they're looking for, we shake hands and that is a fair exchange. I don't work for them, if that makes sense. I obviously do in all forms, but in my mind, I don't. Loyalty starts and ends with respect for me. So if they leave me to do the job, trust I will do the job. Don't mollycoddle me. Don't look over my shoulder. Don't micromanage and we'll get on just fine. Thankfully, where I work is just like that. So, but what I do want to make sure of because of that setup is if I'm willing to give you 5 extra hours to do the work, I want those 5 hours back. And if I'm willing to give you them at any time, I want to be able to take them back at any time. Because if they were to say, no, you can have your extra hours back, but it can only be on a Friday, I'll say no problem. But I'm only willing to work for you extra hours on a Tuesday. Might sound pedantic, might sound pathetic, but it's actually protection. Okay? Because otherwise, I've got the ability to have advantage taken of me and I'm not allowing that anymore. Them days are done. So I had a chat with my manager about it, and in my reasonable adjustment, it's currently classed as a verbal agreement. You know, so we know how many extra hours I'm allowed to work and when I'm expected to take them back. And it's never been a problem. But if I end up with a new manager who's a bit more rigid, a bit more of a stickler for the rules, it's also in my reasonable adjustment that we then change it to a written agreement. So if they say, no, you've got to do your work in your hours, they'll see how much work I won't get done. Another one, and this is where they start getting bigger. There's only 3 left, but this is where they get big and juicy, I think. And that is team away days and networking events. Leave me out of them because they are a fake day. I don't need a team away day to bond with my team to do my job. Anybody who needs it, there's a problem. Because all anybody has to do where I work, who I work with, is phone me up and go, Paul, I'm busy. Is there any way you can come and give me a hand for a couple of weeks? I'll say, no problem. Where's the best place to stay? I'll be there in a heartbeat. Unless it's the M25, to which they'd phone someone else and then I'd cover their patch. So I'm always willing to help. I just can't go in that ring road. So I don't need to be your friend to do that. Because everyone, for me, gets the same starting point. And that is, I'll just give you a baseline of respect. I trust you do your job. I trust you're a good worker. I trust you're not a liar. I trust you're going to be honest and truthful. And I trust you've got the best of intentions. And then it's up to you whether that value goes up, stays the same, or goes down, based off how you work and who you are as a person and how you interact and whether you've told lies or not. I don't need to be your friend. I'm not there to be your friend. I'm there to work. And I will work. And I do work hard. So I don't know the point of a team away day. I don't want to feel like we're friends. I would rather use that day I'm getting paid for to just do my job. Everybody else go, have a great time, become best friends, put yourself down on Christmas card lists and all wear the same jumper at Christmas on parties. Do what you want. Just leave me alone. I don't see the value. Networking events are the same. They're all fake. You know, I can't do them because they're all about backside kissing. Who's going to stroke my ego more than the next person? I had to attend a couple of them once and they were the worst things I've ever done. Like they were so unproductive. We met at 6 a.m, had a bacon sandwich and a cup of coffee that cost £10 for nothing. And then everybody patted each other on the back. And it was, if I need work, I'll phone you because you do that. If you need work, you've got to phone me. That's how it works. And the thing is, I went in there and I just spoke very open and honest. I just went, look, I can't sell. So just know this. If you want a fire risk assessment doing and you want it done right, give me a shout. That's it. But because there was no ego stroking and laughing at all the false crap jokes, I just wasn't welcome back. And it tells you all you need to know. If you've got to be fake to try and get somewhere, then your product is crap. So I just asked, leave me alone, and I don't want a repercussion of this. It's just no, I can't do it. I would rather do my job, all right? So after a long discussion over that, no problem. I then asked to work from home for any admin work. And that's because I don't have a core value to a place. You know, I work all across the north. So when it comes to admin, I can be sat in Newcastle, Liverpool, Manchester. It doesn't matter. Leeds, you know, but we don't have offices everywhere. So why can't I be at home, sat in comfy clothes with my dog? So when I start work, it's bang on 9 o'clock. When I finish, it's bang on 5 o'clock and I'm already home. I want that to happen. If I don't have a core value to a particular building, then I'll work from home for admin. And that's to get away from future concern where people might try and encourage people back into offices. I don't want the small talk. I'm not interested in your new grandson. Just let me be at home. I'll get more done. And that was granted. Which leads me to my last one, which was a request for additional annual leave. And I've only got 6 minutes to do it. This took 16 months to get approved because I was dealing with someone in HR who was a robot. They weren't listening to what I was asking for. Everything was just coming back with the same answers and they weren't listening. Until it became a threat to take the company to court because they were going against all their values, all their internal policies, and they were proving that secretly and privately they didn't care and didn't stand up to their own values, and I was going to challenge them and take them to court. Which then led for this stonewall person who wouldn't budge or move to say, I think you're now going to need to speak to my employer, their senior. And you know what happened? I spoke to him for 15 minutes and he said, what is it you want? What is it you need? And I just said, look, I am autistic. I burn out more than other people. I have to take more on than other people just to get through my day. I know that bothers people who are not autistic, but they don't understand, and that's fine, but just know it's real. and it bothers me. And I get the same annual leave entitlement as everybody else. I need more days. I don't need to be paid for them, but I need to be able to take them off as annual leave to not be persecuted for taking a day off. I don't want it to go against my attendance record. And the thing with my company is you can buy 3 extra days a year. I've worked for companies where you can buy 5 extra days, and that's why I know 5 extra days make the difference. So I said I want those 3 extra days, and then I also want 2 more days just to be counted on the same value. And that's where the other person wouldn't listen. And he said, okay, I see what you're saying. Let me go away, talk to a couple of people, and I'll phone you back this afternoon. Thank you. That afternoon came, he phoned me back and he goes, right, let me just clear it with you. You want 5 extra days a year on your annual leave. 3 of them you've paid for already, and you want 2 more to be classed at the same value. So they are coming out your salary over 10 months, like the other 3, and it comes off as annual leave and not a random day off. I said, yes. He goes, right, well, when you've worked for the company from January to December for a full calendar year, you earn an extra day off, and you'll do that for the next 5 years or next 3 years. He said, so by the time you want this to kick in, you'll have worked a full year. So actually all you need is 1 year, is 1 day added. He said, so what I've done is I've spoke to rewards, I've spoke to payroll, and they've said no problem. He said, so what we're going to do is we're going to add it on for 1 year, because by the time that year is over, you'll have accrued that second day naturally. So you'll have your 3 that you pay for and your 2 that you'll have earned for working for the company for a particular amount of time. And that'll give you your 5. Does that work for you? I said, yes, it does. And he went, no problem. You'll get a letter around Christmas time to confirm what we've spoken about to say you'll get this extra day. And I said, thank you very much. And that was it. So it wasn't the threat that made them do it. I was just talking to an absolute robot who refused to acknowledge that reasonable adjustments are personal for each and every person. So they probably should not be in control of doing what they're doing. And hopefully now they're not. Because I had the power to keep fighting. I had the confidence to keep going. And I had the fire to know that I've been let down at 3 other places. I'm not doing it here either. And I got what I needed. You know, and I want to say thanks to the sort of intermediary who made the connection possible. Because without them, I would have hit a brick wall in the first instance. And I know it couldn't have been easy for them constantly being the back and forth go-between. So I got my additional annual leave. So what I've given you there are 11 examples of things that I have asked for and have. And if you work a type of role like I do, you could have all 11 as well. But I hope you see the value in sharing, even if some of them don't match up or align with you. And just know, if I'd have had a terrible line manager, I'd have gone to court to defend all my points. And because I have them now, no one can take them off me. They've got to sit me down and have a discussion and see if there's any wiggle room on them. Otherwise, there's no reason any of them will ever come out of my diary. And the thing is, they're all there now. They're all documented. I've got an evidential record now with them all down. So it doesn't matter who I end up working for or what department I go to. They are in stone. If anyone violates them, I'll see you in court, because it is that serious to me. I just want to do my job, come home, get in pajamas, play with a dog, relax in my escape world. And this is the best way for me to do it, to reduce the level of stress that work can give me, not because of the job, but because of the fluff that surrounds it. So none of those impact anyone else, the cost to the company, or the value I give back to the company with how much I give to them for work. They are reasonable adjustments. And I hope they helped. And until next time, my friends, thank you very much for watching, and keep smiling.